Prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. That's not just a song that we sing, that's the truth. One day God's little children are going to gather home to be with the Lord in His manifest presence, to see Him face to face, to praise Him with a voice that's in perfection, without any sin to plague us or trouble us. And we'll be body, soul, and spirit forever with the Lord. God will have everything that He bought and paid for at Calvary. And He purchased us with His own precious blood, not with the corruptible things of this world, such as silver and gold. We think of silver and gold as being the things that probably would be the least corruptible. But the Bible speaks of them as corruptible things, such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that blood cleanses us from all of our sins. And that's good news today for God's little children. I'd like to read to you this afternoon from the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to read all 18 verses of this third chapter. I've been studying a long time on this passage of scripture. Not that that's going to help us at all as far as my being able to share with you what I feel the Lord's allowed me to be able to see and understand. But I do know that study is important for the little child of God. All of us are to study God's Word and to search the Scriptures. And study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's my desire today, that is that I would preach to you the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. And when you rightly divide the truth, you don't come to the Bible and get truth and then error and divide the truth from the error, because it's all together truth. Everything that's in the word of God is truth. But we have to, like a person sits down to a big puzzle, you have to sit down and put each place. It has its proper place. Every verse has its proper place. The things that are written in God's Word have their proper place. And if we sit down and try to force fit the pieces and try to put it together, we're going to come with a very mixed up picture. We rest the Scriptures. And we don't want to rest them. We want to rightly divide them. We want to put them in a proper context and their proper place so that we as God's children might be fed and edified. Now, whether we know it or not, we really need what's in the Bible. Whether we acknowledge that or not today, whether we really appreciate that or not, whether we understand that or not, our lives are such that we need the instruction from God's Word in order to get through a single day, much less a week or a month or a year that we're about to face. And how quickly 2022 has come and gone, and now we're looking at a brand new year, 2023, and none of us have a clue about what we're going to face, not only throughout this year, but even a single day of this year. We'll even get down to a single hour of a day of this year, or a single minute. We really don't know what's in store for us. But God knows everything that we're going to face. There's nothing going to happen in our lives this year, if this year lasts, today, any moment, that God has not always been aware of. He not only knows about it today, He's always known about it. Even before the foundation of the world, I believe the Lord knew and knows and knew exactly what was going to happen on January the 1st, 2023. I believe the Lord knew about it enough that He wrote in His Word everything that you and I would need to prepare us and equip us to live godly lives that bring honor and glory to the Lord, even in this day, no matter where you are or who you are as a little child of God. All of that's included in God's Word. Now that's a whole lot to wrap your head around, to think that the God of heaven knew everything that was happening at this moment. And not only this moment, but the past moments we've had and all the moments we've got in the future. That's a pretty good provider. I would say that's a wonderful provider. I would say that's above my thinking provider. A God who knew and knows and has always known everything that you and I would ever need in our lives. And in His Word, He's truly furnished us. That is the children of God. That is His people. He's truly furnished us in His Word. The Word of God that He's given truly furnishes us unto all good works. That means if I want to live today honoring and glorifying to God, and I pray that's what you desire to do. Some people say, well, I love the Lord. I can just kind of live my life any old way I want to live. I don't really have to change any of the way I think or the way I behave or as long as I just love the Lord. But the Bible says, and we heard that, didn't we? Some of us heard it. Today, Brother John's preaching. He preached about if we love the Lord, if a man love me, he will keep my commandments. Now, in order to keep His commandments, you got to know His commandments. And not only know His commandments, but know how it is that you and I would ever be able to keep His commandments. You see, you might know His commandments and still not know how it is that you'd ever be able to keep them. Because we might start thinking, I can just will myself to keep them. I can just choose today to keep them. I can just change the way I'm thinking. I can just change my own direction. I can just turn around, and though I used to love to do evil, I can choose to turn around and do good. And the Bible says, as impossible as it is for the Ethiopian to change the color of his skin or a leopard to change his spots, then you that are accustomed to do evil cannot change and do good. In other words, I need help. You understand? We need help. I need help as I face today. I need help as I face this new year. I need help from the Lord. And the Lord has provided unto us not only the Spirit of God in our hearts, which has changed us, but then direction from His Word, which tells us as new creatures, as born again children of God, as those whom He's made alive, how can I live in a way to honor and glorify God? And is that really important? Some people say, well, if God's changed me and I belong to Him, He's going to carry me home to glory whether I live looking to Him or whether I don't. And that indeed is true. But I'm telling you, God never called us to licentious living. He's called us to follow Him. He even said it this way. It's not only about following Him because He's a God who's enslaved us and brought us into bondage, and now we are owing it to Him, though He has given us everything that makes us. We're duty-bound as bondservants to follow Him. He hasn't just dealt with us as slaves under bondage. You're His child. You're born in His family. You've been adopted into the family of God. He's not only adopted you, but He gave you the spirit of adoption to allow you to know and understand that you belong to Him. Your life isn't just about you, and my life isn't just about me, and our lives aren't just about us. Our lives are really about Him. The purpose of our existence, really the purpose of planet Earth. You know how blessed we are to even know the reason the planet's here? Why is the world here? Why am I here? Why did God make heaven and earth? Why did God do all those things that He has done? And by the way, they didn't just happen to be. God created them, and He created them for His own glory and for His own purpose. He made you for His glory and for His purpose. Sometimes I wonder, why would you have made me? And especially, why would you have made me a new creature? Why would you have given me an understanding and allowed me to see the beautiful things that I've enjoyed in my life? I think of the times of fellowship. the things I'm even missed last night when I didn't have them, of being able to sit there on a New Year's Eve and sing songs. You know how many people think that would be the foolish thing, most foolish thing you could do on New Year's Eve? There's plenty other things you could do than to meet at a place with a bunch of old Baptists and just join together in singing songs that honor and praise the Lord. Singing joy to the world, the Lord has come. Singing praises unto His name and giving Him glory and honor. And unless the Lord has arrested you by His grace and given you that eyesight and that understanding and that heart, you would not and I would not know those things and wouldn't care about them. We just go out in this world and be happy in sin. That doesn't mean we can't do it too. It doesn't mean we can't go out there. Don't mean we can't go do some things that we ought not do, be a part of things we ought not be a part of. We all have that battle. Even when you're at church singing hymns, you have that battle. I have that battle. I guess I'm not guessing. The Word of God says you have that battle. You're fighting a battle right now. There's old flesh that we're fighting. There's a warfare that's going on. There's that old part of you that wants to do what you want to do when you want to do it, and you want to do it right now because that's what you want to do. And that's part of our old nature. And you and I, when God born us again of His Spirit, He didn't take away that vanity. He didn't take away that emptiness. He allows us to suffer with it, but He's equipped us to deal with it and even overcome it. We're made more than conquerors through Him that loved us. As we walk in the Spirit, we're able not to walk in the flesh. But how in the world can I keep His commandments? How can I not walk after the flesh when I've got this old oops that I'm carrying around with me? And some of you know what that is, and others of you don't know what that oops is, but you know what Adam is, and that oops ran right back to Adam. And whatever your last name is, Williams, Sylvester, Sutphen, whatever, it all, Styles, it all runs right back to Adam. And I'm telling you, you and I are not pretty creatures at all in Adam. In Adam, we died. In Adam, we are hateful and hating one another. In Adam, we want what we want when we want it. In Adam, you better not cross us because we're not going to turn the other cheek. As a matter of fact, we're going to get you before you get us if we can. In Adam. In Adam, we're conniving. In Adam, we're thieving. When Adam, there's not a good thing about us in Adam. I'm telling you, if it wasn't us being in Christ, there wouldn't be any hope for us. And this word that we have before us is needed that you and I might know that I'm not just a son of Adam. I am a son of Adam. I'm not just a son in an oots line. I don't have a right just to say that's just how oots is act and go on being this hard-headed, hard-hearted, a person that doesn't live their life in a way to honor and glorify God. And I'm saying that you say you're hard on ootses. I'm hard on all of you, I hope. I want to be loving about it, but I'm telling you, we in this church need the Lord. And we need to know and understand how good He has been to us. And how wonderful that He didn't leave us where we were in the depth of our sin, but He reached down. Not because you were pretty, but He made you pretty. He clothed you. He gave you apparel. He's given you His Word. He's given you this Bible. He's given us the Word of God, which in our hearts to allow us to know and understand things. But He's given us the written Word also to direct us so that when you're led of the Spirit, you'll know it's the Spirit leading you. Yeah, otherwise, the old devil comes along and says, I'm the Spirit, follow me, and he'll have you run a course. Have you ever run on that course where you thought it was the Lord telling you what to do? The devil doesn't come and say, I'm the devil, come follow me. Not with God's children. He might do that with the world because he owns the world and they belong to him and he's not, that's all they know and that's all they're concerned about. And they're running that course. But listen, little child of grace, he's touched you, has he not? He's done something for you you couldn't do for yourself. You're feeling the leadership of the Spirit in your life. And if you feel the leadership of the Spirit, that's an evidence that you're a son, that you belong to him. And the Lord has left on record for us His Word for our instruction. He says, this second epistle, beloved, that is God's little children. I'm talking to you today as the beloved. I believe God loves you, and I believe I'm duty bound to love you. Like we've said many times before, we got to love one another whether we like it or not, because we belong to the Lord. And though sometimes the old flesh gets in the way and we have trouble with that, remember, you're my brother and you're my sister, you're my kin in the Lord. We have an elder brother, and therefore we're to deal one another being at one another's feet. And I'm not to be harsh. I hope I haven't been too harsh. If I have, forgive me. But I hope I haven't been too harsh today. I just want us to see that we're nothing without Him. But in Him, we're able to do what's pleasing in His sight. He says, this second epistle, He's written the first epistle, 1 Peter, and He's writing this to the elect of God, to those that have been called out of nature's darkness into His marvelous light. And He's writing to the beloved. He says, I now write unto you in both, that is, in both epistles, which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Today we're appealing to our pure minds. We have that old carnal mind that doesn't know any good thing. We have to keep that under subjection. But we have the Spirit of God which is in your heart. That is that which leads you in the paths of righteousness. And there's a warfare. How do we fight that battle? How do we keep His commandments? When we walk in the Spirit. The Scripture says we have the flesh that lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if we walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And He says, I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. So what is He preaching to them? What is the word spoken by the holy prophets? Where can I find that? Where is that at? God's given it to us in the Old Testament. When you read the Old Testament, you're not just reading the writings of Moses or the writings of David or the writings of the prophet Isaiah or of any of the minor prophets. You're reading that which men wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And the Apostle Peter says, I want to stir you up by preaching and teaching and making you mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. And then he says, and not only the Old Testament, but the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. So we have not only also the Old Testament, but we have the New Testament. We have God's Word before us. And he's saying, I want to stir you up by calling you in remembrance of God's Word. That's why we in our churches ought to preach the Word. We ought to preach the Gospel. We ought to preach the truth. We ought to preach what God has written down, thus saith the Lord. And he says, knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days, and I believe, brethren, we are in the last days. I believe we're in the last age. I believe and my feelings is, and I'm not making predictions today, but I do know this, the time is closer than it's ever been for our Lord's return. And he says, and in the last days there's going to come scoffers. And don't you think the scoffers aren't there? And they're not going away. And they will cause you to be discouraged. They'll cause you to say you're crazy. You're crazy to take time that you could be spending with your family and come to the house of God and worship. You're crazy to be able to be taking the time that you could be doing other things in this world far more important. You know how many people would look at this little gathering here this afternoon as just a total and complete waste of time, or even that something that you could just do when everything's convenient. Just do when everything fits it. Well, just fit that in when you can. And yet the Bible doesn't tell us that. The Bible says that if we love Him, we're to keep His commandments. And that if we love Him, we're to put first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things shall be added unto us. This isn't talking about how a person becomes a little child of God, but it is talking about how a little child of God walks pleasing to the Lord. And it's really about what we really need. You see, I need instruction. I need to know what saith the Word of God. I need to know the things that were spoken before by the holy prophets. And I also need to know the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Now you say, well, are we to follow the teachings of the apostles? And the answer to that is yes. As they followed Christ, we're to follow them. Who first preached this gospel? The Lord Jesus Christ. And He gave it unto the apostles who taught others. And then that has gone on. And this is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. It's a place that we're to come and learn these things. And if we neglect them, it'll be to our own, on our own loss. Even to the point poor little David got away from the things of God. You read that over in Psalm 51 where he cried out to God for forgiveness. And I encourage you to read that psalm because he had gotten away from the things of God. He'd forgotten about the things of God. He was just kind of hanging around. And as he was hanging around, what happened? The old devil and other the circumstances presented itself. And the next thing you know, he had fallen into such grievous sin, you'd wonder how David could have possibly done that. You know how David did that? The same way you and I can do those same kinds of things very easily by just simply neglecting what the Lord would have us to be about. It's important that we're doing what the Lord would have us to do. Now the good news is, as far as David got away, David got into that trouble and he tried to cover up that sin that was with Bathsheba when he had taken another man's wife. He not only took another man's wife, he was a faithful man. That man's wife, she was the wife of one of his faithful servants who was fighting a battle where David ought to have been in the first place. But David was hanging around while the soldiers were out fighting. It's not good when the Lord's soldiers are out fighting. We're supposed to be in the battle. Listen, you and I are supposed to be in the battle. But he fell into that sin, that grievous sin. He didn't lose his salvation. He was still God's child. When we mess up, we don't lose our salvation. We're still God's child. But what happens is he lost the joy and the peace and the rest. And we don't want to lose that joy and that peace and that rest that comes. And he cried unto the Lord, though, and he said, cleanse me. Cleanse me, Lord. Forgive me of my sins. He recognized that he'd sinned against God. And when he cried unto the Lord, I believe the Lord heard his cry and answered his prayer. And when we sin, he's faithful and just. When we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Forgive us our sins. He says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. There are men today, it says, you know, the Lord said he was coming back. Where is he? He's not come back. Listen, I don't know when he's coming, but I know he is coming. It's known unto the Father when he's coming. And he's going to come. There's going to be the sound of the trump and the last trump. And the dead in Christ are going to rise. And we which are alive and remain are going to be changed. The Lord is going to come. He said this. He said they would scoff and say, for where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. It almost seems like they're saying, well, the Lord did make it, but he's really not in control today. Do we believe the Lord's in control today? Boy, it would be a fearful world if the Lord wasn't in control. He's on his throne. But there would be many who say, well, you know, God really doesn't care what we're doing now. It's God's not around. You don't have to worry about that. Listen, it's not about us slavishly worrying about it. It's about us as God's little children being concerned that we're walking in a way to please our Heavenly Father. It's not about us just getting it right so we'd be acceptable with God. We've been made accepted with God through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But because of that, we ought to want to live in a way to bring Him honor and glory and praise. I think about how good He's been to me this year in my life, all that He's done for me, all of the blessings that He supplied unto me. God forbid that I wouldn't remember Him and think about Him and praise Him. And yet I find in my life, and maybe you do too, there are days that I just go through it, sometimes complaining, sometimes murmuring, sometimes thinking I'm not very content at all. Rather than just being satisfied and thankful to the Lord for His goodness and His mercy to me, I want to do better this year than I did last year. Now listen, I'm going to mess up. Already have messed up. This year just started and I'm messing up. Even as I'm in the pulpit, I find evil present with me in all that we do. But a wonderful thing is this. The wonderful thing is that our Lord has loved us and we have His forgiveness, and we can look to Him and always find just what we need. He says, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." I think that simply says God made this world just like it is. He made it. Why are the oceans like they are? Why are the mountains just like they are? Why does the climate run like it does? Why do the seasons of the year happen like they do? Why does the moon change phases? Why does the sun come up in the morning and go down in the evening? And why does it run such a wonderful schedule that you could set watches and clocks by it, and you can count on when it's going to be? You can get your watch out right now and somebody will tap on it, and if you've got the right kind of watch or right kind of phone, it'll tell you when the sun's going down. How do they know that? Because it follows a pattern that was put in place by a God who cannot fail. And I'm telling you, there's a time coming. He's kept it by His word. It's not just happening on its own. It's not just taking place. He's the one who made it. He's the one who's sustaining it. And His word will keep it. Isn't that good to know? That this world isn't running by its own course and by its own power. He says, "This they are willingly ignorant of, that the word of by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished." The Lord's already destroyed this planet once. He sent water, and we can read about that in Genesis, and what the Lord did, the evil of man and the imagination of man was only on evil continually. And the Lord, it grieved the Lord that He had made man. And so He sent water. And water enough, listen, He sent water. He opened up the windows of heaven and the fountains of the deep. Somebody said, "Well, how did that all happen?" Listen, God's in control. And He opened all of that up, and the water covered the tallest mountains. And we have clear evidence of that. All we have to do is open up our eyes, and true science will point to that just as clear as anything in the world. But men are ignorant of it and will deny it because they do not. The bottom line is, all of their thoughts are, there is no God. And man, because of his pride, the pride of his countenance, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. But the evidence is there. It's all around us. But we have His word, which is even better evidence. And we have the Spirit of God, which is in our heart, that allows us to know it. I believe today, y'all believe that the heavens and the earth were created by God. Amen? And that when the Lord saw fit to destroy this earth, He didn't have any trouble at all. Covering the top of the mountains with water. And what the Bible says about it, what holy men of old wrote about it, is the truth. And we read it and we say simply, amen to that. Isn't that good? But how is that possible? Because He's given you the wonderful gift of faith, which is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. He said, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." There's a day of judgment that's going to come. We can read about that in several places in the Bible, of the day of judgment that's going to come. And that day of judgment is going to come when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And there's going to be a judgment, a general judgment of both the just and the unjust. And the dead in Christ shall rise, both the just and the unjust. And those that are not His children will be found guilty of the things that they have done contrary to the Lord And the Word of God, they'll be judged out of the things written in the books, and they'll be found guilty, and they'll hear, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, into everlasting fire." And God's little children will be judged in Christ Jesus, and found righteous and holy and just, not based on their works, but on what Jesus has done for them. And they'll hear this, this sound: "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And whether the world wants to acknowledge that or not, or whether men want to acknowledge that or not, that is going to happen. And this scripture tells us the Lord is just waiting the appointed time for it to take place. He says, "The heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved..." There's a reservation under fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And all of this world that men kill and maim and hurt one another over, trying to get more of it and a piece of it, one day it's all going to be gone. All the stuff that worry you and me, sometimes causing our hair to turn gray or fall out, all of those things, all of those temporal things are going to be gone. Isn't it wonderful to know that in the sense that we're not to live for those things? He says, "But beloved," even though men said, "Where is he at?" He said he was coming. Why hasn't it happened? He says, "Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." What that simply is telling us, God's on his time, not our time. And God works when he sees fit, not when we see fit. And he's not following any man's pattern. And when you find somebody standing up saying, "I got it figured out, the Lord's coming on this day, and the Lord's coming on that day," remember that the Word of God says no man knows the day or the hour. There are signs that are pointing to his imminent coming, but we don't know the day or the hour. And so when a man stands up and says in boldness, "I know when he's coming," you can just count that, mark that off as... that doesn't fit the word. He says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." If the Lord's going to come wrap all this up, why hasn't he come right now? Because the Lord's long-suffering to usward. Who's the usward? Who's the usward? It's God's little elect. The Lord's not going to come until every one of his little children are born naturally and then born again spiritually. He's not going to leave one of them behind. God foreknew his people before the foundation of the world. He knew every one of them. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are his. And the long-suffering is the reason, the long-suffering of God is the reason that this planet exists today. If it was just based on men being good enough in order to be able to be here, God would have wiped this planet out a long time ago. But there are some of God's little children who are yet to be born and yet to be born of the Spirit, and the Lord's going to maintain and allow this, or suffer this old evil world to continue on until the last little heir promise is born into this world. And then when that takes place, it's time for all of us to go home. Does that sound good to you? It does to me. I don't know when that's going to be. I don't know who all of his children are, but I guarantee you this, he knows his children. Don't you believe that? He knows every one of them. And when the last one of them is born into this world, and then the last one of them is born again of the Spirit of God, then everything is ready at that point for our bodies to be taken and changed and made in fashion like unto the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this old evil planet will be judged, and the Lord's wrath will be poured out upon it, and the elements and everything that men love in this world and think they can't live without in this world are going to melt with a fervent heat, and we're going to be given a new place and a new dwelling which has nothing in it that has any unrighteousness at all. The closest picture to that that I find in this earth today is the Lord's church. But I'm telling you, even today, you and I carry some unrighteousness in here, don't we? I still got a whole lot going on with me that I wish wasn't going on with me. I wish I really loved him like he loved me. I wish I really could hold on, like the hymn writer says, I want to love him more. I want to thank him more. I want to be more appreciative. I want to be less contrary. I want to love God's children better. I often find myself saying things I wish I'd never said, and then thinking things I would never tell you I'm even thinking. And yet the Lord knows all about that, and He's loved me anyway. One day He's going to take care of all that. Does that sound good too? He's going to take care of all that. He says the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. That means He's going to keep His promise. As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. The reason he has continued to let this world exist in its evil condition is that there are some of God's little children yet to be born of the Spirit of God. He says he's not willing that any should perish. I said to you, if he's not willing any should perish, none's going to perish. Y'all agree with that? If he's not willing, and it's not, he said, well, does that mean everybody? No, it's to usward. It's to his elect children. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And what does that mean? That means He will quicken each and every one of them. They'll all be born of the Spirit of God. They'll all come to know Him, where there's a change that takes place in their heart. They'll be made new creatures. What we read about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 will happen. If any man therefore be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things are become new. That's going to happen to His children. Every one of them will be effectually called. We believe that. Everyone He foreknew, He predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. And those whom He predestinated, them He also called. And those whom He called, them He also justified. And those whom He justified, He will also glorify. And that's going to take place. He says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Does that sound like we're going to know when it's going to happen? No, but we have some evidences. We have some signs. He says it's going to come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Why would we love this world very much when one day it's going to all be done away with? We should be thankful for what the Lord gives us, for the time that we have it. Thankful for the blessings that He's given you. But remember, those timely blessings are for time and for here. And one day those things are going to be done away. And the things that are really eternal, the love, the joy, the peace, the fellowship that we have with God's little children here in this world, those things cannot be shaken. And when this old world is on fire, we're going to enjoy them in the presence of Almighty God, not in the limited way we have right now, but in the fullness of the finished work of the Lord. He says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, and this is the key, He says, what manner of persons ought ye to be? And all holy conversation and godliness. In other words, it's important that we know about this, to know I'm not to love these things. They're just here for a little while. It's not wrong to enjoy them. It's not wrong to. It's a wonderful thing to have the blessings. I went to the store, to the ice cream shop yesterday afternoon, and I went in and got me an eggnog shake. I'll tell you what. I don't believe there's going to be eggnog shakes in heaven. But I'll tell you what, I enjoyed that eggnog shake, but that eggnog shake is for here. The food we're going to eat downstairs here in a few minutes, we're going to enjoy that, but that's for here. That's all about here. There's some blessing. We can enjoy that. But when I start living for eggnog shakes, or I start living for the food that's on the table, and that becomes the priority in my life, when I start living for any other thing and fail to realize my fellowship with God and the Lord's people in spiritual things are more important than any natural blessing I have on the face of this earth. And when we get our life prioritized that way, we get the closest thing to heaven in this time world that you can get. And when we fail to do that, we miss out, even maybe to the point where David cried out, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Can a little child of God get that low? Oh, yes, I can. And I have. Where I get so down about life that I don't want to live. Because I've forgotten that one day it's all going to melt with a fervent heat. And it's not long. I don't care how long. It's not long. A day with the Lord is just 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is going to happen. And He's going to change. Listen to what He says. He says, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for. Does that sound like we ought to just say, well, it's going to happen? No, we should be anticipating it. Looking for and hasting. We're eagerly awaiting. That's what that means. Hasting. We're eagerly awaiting. I can't wait. How do you feel? I see some of you can't wait. I see some of you looking at, well, I don't know. I think we'll hang in there a while. You know, sometimes it just, you know, and I said to you, there are some days I'm eagerly awaiting, and some days I go like, oh, I just, you know, it's just a mixture, isn't it? I want to feel more like I'm eagerly awaiting it. Lord, help me say with the writer of the book of Revelations, even so come quickly, Lord. Even so come, Lord Jesus. And you know, when you're walking close to the Lord, that's the way you feel. And when you get out in this old world and get a taste of it, you're kind of like, well, I'm a hang. That's that warfare that's going on. He says, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to His promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. In other words, when that is all gone, it's not just going to be all over. We're going to be with the Lord, and we're going to have a pain. We're not going to have a sorrow. We're not going to have a tear. Those of our loved ones who've gone home to be with the Lord, they've already entered into that sweet place of fellowship where everything there is righteous. And they don't have a worry. They don't have a care. They're not looking down upon earth and saying, oh, what's going to go on down there? What's brother so-and-so or this one doing? No, they are enjoying the glories and the blessings of eternal heaven. And whatever they see, somebody says, well, I don't know what they can see. That's all speculation. I will say this. Whatever they can see, they're not troubled by it. Because they know the Lord's in control. We're not troubled by it when we know the Lord's in control, but we don't know that fully. I want you to know they know it fully. They know our Father has this. Our Father's in control. Our Father's on His throne. And ultimately, we're going to all together, with a one more than family missing, with a one empty seat at the table, we're going to all together with every one of God's children be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is our elder brother. We're going to be heirs of God and joint heirs of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are that today. But we're going to get everything that He's bought and paid for. He said, wherefore, beloved, seeing you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in Him in peace and without spot and blameless. We look forward to that. We want to enjoy as much of it here in time as we can get, but we'll have it all together in eternity. He says, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. In other words, He's tarrying for a reason. He's awaiting for a reason. It's not His time to come for a reason. He does all things with purpose. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Notice Paul didn't have anything special other than what was given to him. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, and which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. That's why it's important for us to rightly divide the Word of God. Because we can be destroyed in time too, even God's children. He says, ye therefore, beloved, here again, coming back to that wonderful word, He says, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Can we fall from it? Sure can. Easy to do. Doesn't happen all of a sudden, just step by step, little by little. Just a little by little. Kind of like David. I'm going to tarry around here. Nothing's going to happen. And the next thing you know, he's looking over in a window he should have never looked into, doing something he should have never done. How did he get into that? And then tried to cover it up, even to the point he got deeper and deeper and deeper, even willing to commit murder. Send him in the front lines that he might die, this faithful man. Brought that faithful man back to try to cover up his sins, and that faithful man wouldn't even lie with his wife. Wouldn't go into her, because he knew those that he had left were still in the battle, and I should be in the battle. But David had brought him back to try to get it all covered up, you know, all covered up. That's what part of David did that? That old flesh we've been talking about. But the Spirit of God was also in David. So when Nathan came and told him, "You're the man I'm talking about." Remember when Nathan the prophet came and David said, and Nathan told him that little parable about the sheep, the man that had many sheep, had one little ewe lamb and it prized it so, and then the rich man had all these sheep. I'm not getting all of that, but you read it over there, 1 Samuel, might be 2 Samuel, it's there. David said, "Just show me that man that would do such a thing, and I'll take care of him." And Nathan said, "You are the man. Thou art the man." And I believe the Spirit of God in his heart that was there just allowed him to see, I'm rotten and no good. And he wrote Psalm 51. I can feel that in me right now. How did I get in such a mess? You ever find yourself in such a mess? You say, why did I ever go that direction? Why did I ever do that? So what do? We go to the Lord and find forgiveness. I know I'm past time. We got food downstairs. God bless you. Pray for me. Being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. He said in verse 18, and we'll close with that. He said, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever." Amen. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Second Samuel 11 and 12. I messed that up so bad, please read it. Because I'm gonna read you this real quick. Just, "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. And the rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds," that's David, "but the poor man," that's Uriah, "had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children, and it did eat of his own meat and drink of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter." That describes how Uriah loved Bathsheba. "There came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that he that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb," that's what David did, "and dressed it for the man that was come to him." And listen to David. "David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, 'As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity.' And Nathan said to David, 'Thou art the man.'" When sin comes home to us, that's the way we feel. Thou art the man. And that's when the 51st Psalm was written. When David cried out, "Lord, forgive me." And I could go there, but we better stop. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.